If you're an instrument instructor and you've never been in real clouds, demand a refund. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. It's Monday, that means it's time for a chat with Bob Miller, CFI, proprietor of Bob Miller Flight Training at the Buffalo Lancaster Airport in Western New York, and publisher of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. Bob's sometimes controversial views make a good start to the week, prodding us to think about safety. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
As always, Paul, I enjoy our conversations.
All right. Now, you related to me recently a story of an applicant for a flight instructor's position with your school who came into you and was an instrument-rated instructor and had not had really any experience in actual IMC. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, this is perhaps one of the most controversial issues that exists today, I believe, in general aviation. The fact that we're preparing instrument pilots, in fact, we're preparing instrument-rated instructors to teach instruments who themselves have never been in instrument conditions. And it's almost like me here in Buffalo trying to hire an automobile driving instructor to teach students how to drive in the winter, and they themselves never drove on ice or snow. It just does not compute. It cannot be done. And I think this is one of the major reasons why we continue to see so many fatal of continued VFR flight into IMC conditions, and then the hapless pilot loses control of the airplane. But what prompted me to write this article, and this happens to me, it would not be an exaggeration to say once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks, I'll have an instructor, CFI, come to my flight school and say, do you have any openings here, Bob? And I'll bring him into the office, and I'll ask him one question right off, and I'll say, well, tell me, how much actual instrument flying experience do you have? And the one that prompted my writing was just a repetition of the same answers I was getting over and over, and that was, in this particular case, he said he had received less than 1 hour of total instruction in, or total experience in instrument conditions. And this was a CFI candidate who had gone through a 4-year aviation college, well-known college here in the Northeast, and he had received his private, his instrument, his commercial, and his CFI, in the state of, New Hampshire, where IMC conditions abound from November through April. And yet, despite all of this training, had only received less than 1 hour of actual in-instrument condition experience. I asked him then, I said, well, here in Buffalo, I said, would you be comfortable today taking one of our training airplanes, a Cessna 172, up into, we had at the time about a 3,000-foot base, and asked him if he would be comfortable filing an instrument flight plan and then demonstrating his skills, and he said, absolutely not. And then I queried, I said, and you're here for a job as a CFI? How are you going to teach the 3 hours of required instrument training to primary students? And he said, well, the same way I was taught, we'll put them under a hood. Mm-hmm. And therein lies the essence of the problem, a very, very serious problem, Paul.
Well, now, Bob, your article was headlined Demand a Refund, and I get it. I get why you called it that. Wouldn't it be more appropriate to go in with the appropriate expectations at the beginning of what had to be a pile of money this guy spent?
This individual told me he had $145,000 in debts in education loans. Hear me, $145,000 for a 4-year college degree in aviation studies, which included his pilot ratings, $145,000. Yeah, he should have known, but how many of us, enroll in a flight school, off the street and understand the rules? We go in, we accept the training, we take the training, we think that's the way it should be. After all, this is a 4-year university, well known, that specializes. And again, the pilot doesn't realize that when he gets out, this training, is useless in terms of actually flying an instrument in real instrument conditions.
Well, I see two secondary issues here, Bob. One is, if IFR, if IMC abounds in the area where this guy got his training and he didn't get his training, that suggests that it's a conscious decision not to take students into clouds.
And I asked him that. I said, why do you suppose you did not receive your instrument training in instrument conditions? And he very openly said he believed it was due to liability concerns, that the college that he graduated from did not want to take the liability of conducting training in instrument conditions. Now, I don't know if it was specifically precluded by their rules, but he certainly implied that they did not want to do it. And when questioned further, his instructor, by the way, was last year's graduate of the college. And I suspect that instructor, his instructor down the road, was the previous year's graduate. So there could have been a lineage of two or three generations of instructors who themselves had come through the four-year program and themselves had never been in instrument conditions. Therefore, nobody was comfortable flying in these conditions. Now, in fairness to the college, if you go back to 14 CFR Part 61 of the regulations, there's no requirement that an instrument student be taught in instrument conditions. And therefore, they are saying, well, we're preparing students in accordance with applicable federal aviation regulations, and they are. So that might be the defense, and so there is the first culprit in the whole mix, and that's the FAA and the way the regulations are written. But, you know, when we point the finger to the FAA, in fairness to them, they have tried countless times to toughen the regulations and to tighten the safety standards, and then they run afoul with big organizations, big membership organizations like EAA and AOPA that, you know, they're membership organizations that try to protect the interests of their members and to preclude, you know, putting burdens on their pilots. And then if you talk with them and read their writings, they quite naturally say that, well, you know, instrument training is good for any pilot. Any pilot should receive instrument training. It makes them better pilots. But what they don't tell us is instrument training makes VFR pilots better VFR pilots.
Mm-hmm.
That's their premise, and I would not fault that premise. It does make a VFR pilot a better VFR pilot. But to stamp instrument rating on the back of somebody's certificate and then imply that that individual has the skills, knowledge, and ability to fly in instrument conditions when, in fact, he has never been in instrument conditions, that's an abomination. I mean, that's a standard that's deplorable, and it's only a matter of time before some congressman's kid gets killed in an airplane, and they've come to the fact that that kid had no training, a pilot, had no training in instrument conditions. You know, and then we can take it back even further. You know, the nation's flight schools, like all of us, and I run a flight school, we have a tight budget. You know, we're living from hand to mouth in this tight economy. Many flight schools will employ flight instructors that they can get at the lowest possible pay rate. You know, so they get young students, young instructors who have not had instrument training in instrument conditions. These young people will work at $12 and $13 an hour for the privilege of building logbook hours. And so now we have a condition known as the what I call the blind leading the blind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when this will change, you know, I don't know. But now, in fairness to folks that live and reside and train in New Mexico and Arizona, and even in Utah, where I understand it's either VFR conditions or it's thunderstorms or icing.
Yeah, a lot of the time it is.
It is, and in fairness to the folks there, and I understand the plight. You know, you can't just go out and order up instrument conditions. But I live in the flatlands of the East. If I'm going to move and operate in and around Alaska or the Rocky Mountains, I'm not going to go to Harrisburg, Virginia or Harrisburg, Pennsylvania to learn mountain flying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to come to your territory and I'm going to learn mountain flying. You know, I'll see my good friend Don Lee, who runs a wonderful program of mountain flying up in Talkeetna, Alaska. That's where I'll go for that kind of training if that's where my mission is going to take me. So if I was trained in Arizona and did not receive training in instrument conditions, I would either demand a refund or restrict my instrument flying to Arizona. So you can see the plight. It is a serious plight, but I believe from my vantage point, given the fact that the vast percentage of the mainland of America is associated with instrument conditions from time to time, and given the fact that the number one fatal cause of accidents is continued VFR into IMC conditions, the accident data shows that this is a very serious problem.
We'll be back in a moment. My guest is CFI Bob Miller, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm here with Bob Miller talking about instrument instructors who've never flown in actual instrument conditions and yet are expected to teach the skills to others. Bob, this guy you turned away at your school is going to walk down the street and get a job someplace, and that somewhere else might actually be a regional airline.
Oh, yes. And, you know, the regional airlines now are undergoing congressional oversight to ensure, and we know that, that changes are being made in the regional airlines to bring them up to a standard with the mainline carriers. But that's a different story. You're clearly right, Paul. That individual will walk from my flight school right down the road and likely be employed in the next flight school down the road that doesn't hold to a higher standard. This is, again, I think you can tell from the intensity of my remarks, this is an extremely serious problem. And there are multiple factors, and I think the multiple factors can be started, traced all the way back to 14 CFR Part 61. That portion of the regulation needs to be changed. It absolutely needs to be changed, or we put some sort of restrictive covenant on the individual's certificate, like you must wear glasses or you're instrument rated, but you must stay outside of the clouds. There was another case that was reported in one of the publications just a year or so ago where a CFI was applying for his II rating and was about to take a check ride with the FAA, as he has to do. Well, in this particular case, it was a designated pilot examiner for the II. The examiner reported, this was in Daytona, Florida, on the day that the scheduled test was to take place, they were experiencing a 400-foot ceiling. The candidate said that he did not want to take the test on that day, and the DPE said, what do you mean you don't want to take a test? This is for a CFII rating on your certificate. And he says, yes, but I've never been in the clouds before. And the CFI had remarked that he was going to have to give him a letter of discontinuance and reschedule it. And the CFI candidate said, so be it. They rescheduled 2 weeks later, as I understood it. 2 weeks later, they had sunny skies. The candidate took the II ride and passed it.
Wow.
Now, where is the fault in the system? The fault in the system exists with the standards, experience standards for the instructor, the instrument instructor. You know, it's almost excusable for the private pilot to obtain their 3 hours of instrument training in under the hood. You know, those pilots aren't going to be expected to be in the clouds. But to turn out an instrument-rated pilot, worse, to turn out a CFI II who is certificated to teach instruments, and then to ask that individual to responsibly teach a skill that he himself has never experienced? I mean, this defies logic.
Yeah. Well, Bob, I don't know that we're going to solve the problem, but you certainly articulate it well, and we appreciate you for doing so, and we will talk to you again next Monday.
Thanks, Paul.
You can read the article which prompted today's conversation in the current edition of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. Find out more at www.overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.